just say a few words to start, and then you can ask me whatever you want. First, I want to thank our fans. Lincoln Financial Field this past season was awesome, electric, welcoming a new quarterback, a new coach. You're never satisfied first year with new coach and new quarterback at 7-9, but I am more than excited about the direction of the franchise. It's great to walk around here having the feeling that I do, surrounded by terrific young quarterback, a coach that really captured the locker room. We can talk more about that. Howie, we can talk more about that. Did one heck of a job to acquire Carson and some of the moves before that and leading up to it and after. And the hiring of Joe Douglas, I thought, was the pivotal moment of the last, year as well, because the whole thing was keyed to can we, at some point, without tanking, which you don't do in football, acquire or have any access to getting a franchise quarterback? They don't come around very often. You hope you pick well when they do, but how do you even get to that? Because usually a team that's finished with the worst record or the worst two records in the league, their basic problem is they have no quarterback. So we looked at the quarterbacks that were in that class, but we also looked at the quarterbacks that were coming up in this class, and we even looked at 2018. And it was, I give our guys a tremendous amount of credit for identifying a very special player and person and athlete who he has a lot of the ingredients we're looking for. And we made the move, and the rest is history, and we'll all see how it all plays out over the years, because you never know. You don't fool yourself into thinking you have something until it all happens and all gets put together. But just as an owner, I couldn't be more excited about the direction of the franchise. Open it up to any questions.
As far as personnel decisions and coaching decisions, what role do you play in those decisions, and has it changed during the course of the ownership?
Right. It has not changed. I always feel like it's my responsibility to set the best atmosphere, the best environment possible to give us the resources to have as much success as we can. So that goes into how you invest in scouting, player personnel, player development, every aspect, sports science, how do you support your coach, good public relations, every aspect that you can think of, smart talent evaluation. You want to give the resources and then let people make the decisions. And that's, I've always, believed in that. Now, does that mean I don't ask a lot of questions? I love football, and I've always, whether it's whether we're going to select Donovan McNabb or move up to take Carson or whatever we're doing, my role is to provide the resources, but I ask a lot of questions to create the final strategy that our guys take.
Jeff, are there certain instances, though, where you feel like you have to step in particular when John Pitorvo was up for that Jets offensive coordinator job, the interview, did you feel like it was necessary to step in there?
It wasn't necessary because, our philosophy is the coach makes those decisions, and Doug talked to me about it, and we talked about the need to keep stability for Carson at that position, and, I just supported Doug. It was sort of like this was a no-brainer. Very good young coach. He's going to do great in the NFL, and it was important, as Doug and I talked about it, that in year two to keep the same quarterback coach and just allow that to flourish for Carson.
Did Doug typically, or the coaches typically, come to you in those types of situations?
Yes.
Or was this a particular one?
No, they would normally, whether it was Andy or Doug or Chip or anybody, would come and say, a team is interested in a certain coach, he's under contract to us, I don't want to lose him. In this case, Doug, I don't want to lose him. And, and that was, it was sort of very quick meeting. It was like, yeah, Doug, yeah, yeah.
Jeff, obviously you, as well as everybody in the city, wants a championship.
Yes.
Where does your patience, I don't know if there's a timetable or where does it land
You know, for me, it's how, when you have that quarterback, and we hope we do, you can't be overconfident. All the ingredients are there with Carson. You've been around him, and I think you know what we have, but it has to all play itself out. But it takes, as it took with Donovan, and whenever you have a really good quarterback around the league, if you watch, it takes a very patient, disciplined approach. Short-term solutions to get to 10-6 or whatever quickly with that quarterback are non-sustainable. You've got to draft well. You have to have multiple drafts in a row, hopefully, in where you're surrounding that quarterback on all sides of the ball, and that's the formula. It's not that complicated. It's hard to accomplish, but it's not that complicated. As an owner, I've got to be really patient, and at the same time, I'm very competitive. We'll make moves that will make us better this year. However, we won't make a move where it's going to cost us flexibility or ability to use resources in future years, because we're in the mode where we're not one player away. We have lots of holes. And you got to recognize that first. We have lots of holes. And we have to draft really well over the next few years to accomplish what we want to accomplish early on in Carson's career. You know, Matt Ryan's done one hell of a job and has had a great career. Finally got to the Super Bowl in, I don't know, age 30, 31. And they've had a lot of ups and downs. I think the year before were they 6-10 or something like that. Had a great year. They've got a great young coach, and they've been patient and realized that it's not about changing quarterbacks. It's just surrounding them well with depth and smart thinking, and that's our strategy. It's you've got to be patient.
Judge, or
you,
I'm
yeah,
sorry,
yeah. Go ahead.
Has come out of the care about
yeah, we
patient about taking the long view. But how do you marry that with then going out and getting the top wide receiver on the market?
When you're patient, you also have opportunities. So the key to that is to have optionality. It's not to say we're not going to pay any good players. You know, there's a chance in terms of deal making in the NFL at a certain point in free agency where you gain optionality if a player isn't able to secure the long-term deal that he was looking for. Why not take a chance? And I would only do it pretty much on young players like Alshon Jeffrey, because you have a chance to hold his rights and see how that develops, but you gain optionality. So it was a win-win for us. It could be great in the future. It helps us this year, and there's optionality so we can reuse that resource in the future without having extended it too far, without knowing how good the player is.
Even
so,
Jeff, speaking of drafting,
yeah.
Have you seen the video of Joe Mixon, and how involved would you be in that type of decision in terms of taking a player?
Yeah, I don't want to talk about a specific player. You know, of course, you know, I know all about situations like that. I'll say this. First of all, we've been an organization that's given players a second chance. However, we've also been an organization that really values character. Okay? So add to that the fact that I would never want to telegraph what we're going to do at any position in the draft. So sitting here with all you guys, just to be completely honest, I can't explain to you exactly what we would be doing, because I don't want to telegraph to the rest of the league what we're going to do. Okay? So that's sort of the foundation of that.
But how much would you get involved in that, Jeff?
Yeah.
And it's not just certain players, but
the only real example of that I can give is Michael Vick, because it was a big decision. And that's the real time. You can replay that press conference. It took a lot of, searching my own values and family and all that, love of dogs and all that, but really tried to take it on a case-by-case basis, and that's what we do. So I'll naturally talk to Howie, to Joe, Don Smolensky, and, we'll discuss every situation like that. And I listen. I'm more of a listener and asker of questions. In the end, of course, it's my decision if we're going to sign Michael Vick or not.
You're not equating violence against dogs with violence against women, are you?
I'm not even comparing the two, Sal. All I'm saying is every player situation, without getting into any specific player as we go forward, is on a case-by-case basis. You've got to do your due diligence in this world. And it's not fair to the organization or the player to not have all the information. And that's where we dig, and we dig a lot, and you know, try to make the soundest decision.
Jeff, 2 years ago you were here, and this was after the final shakeup.
Mm-hmm.
You strongly endorsed the move to put Chip in charge of personnel.
Yeah.
You also, in turn, said that you wanted to kind of hold him accountable.
Yes.
For all his decisions. But do you look back upon that with great regret in terms of what happened? And now, do you feel like moving forward you had a plan in place in terms of the front office and the offense?
Yeah. It's the complication to the question is, I don't regret giving Chip that opportunity because I had to decide whether he was going to be fully capable of that responsibility. On the other hand, I think that the job performance obviously didn't meet with my expectations, and it was a clear decision that was not the way to go. Going forward, part of my excitement about the franchise is I have a lot of confidence in Howie, and I have a tremendous amount of confidence in how he's organized football operations. We don't talk about that enough, but football operations today is a multifaceted. It's not just about scouting. There's many, many areas that contribute to every decision. And one of the main things Howie and I discussed when he was going to be in the football operations role was he had to have a top-notch player personnel department, or we were going to find somebody who could find a great player personnel department. That was his responsibility. He went out and recruited Joe Douglas, Andy Weidel, and they've put together something I hope can be very special, really strong. In fact, when I'm talking to a lot of GMs here, I get a lot of congratulations about Carson, and I go, oh, look, it's just 1 year. But I get more talk about attracting Joe Douglas and Andy Weidel than almost anything else. The proof's in the pudding. We have to have several strong drafts. Joe will be leading the way there, and we'll be really counting on their judgment to do a great job.
So now that we're hiring, we're bringing back Howie in that person.
Yes.
Role.
Yeah.
Was that almost a condition of putting him in that role that he would find
yes.
a personnel guy?
Absolutely. Absolutely. In addition to himself. And, you know, I want to go back to how pleased I am and excited about what Howie's been able to do, because took over a difficult situation after losing, you know, a premier player like LeSean McCoy. And a situation where the salary cap wasn't particularly promising in terms of what we wanted to accomplish. We didn't have a franchise quarterback. We had some older players that were descending. And how we put together a blueprint, he thought it through and he looked forward. He looked at our situation. He looked at the history of the league. We were in lock sync in our thinking on this, and you know, how we were able to eventually get up to two, also using our people to identify an outstanding young player who would be available, and in the end, when you think about it, after the Bradford trade, he was able to get up to get this quarterback from eight for, let me see if I have this right. We gave up a 2 and a 3, and we got back 2 4s. So, you know, if this all turns out the way we hope, that's the story of the past year. You know, if Carson's what we think he is, that's the story. How do you do that? Howie came up with a plan. We wanted to reallocate resources away from a couple of the players we had acquired and future in terms of getting up to 8 from 13 without having to use up draft picks to accomplish that. How do you do that? He was able to do that. It was outstanding.
How about Doug's first year? What did you see from him, and what's the expectation of him this season?
Right. With Doug, the most important things were this. Could he assemble a great staff? Because without a great staff, I don't know how you do really well in this league. One of the great things of, I think, Andy Reid was go back to that first staff. Doug didn't have the ego where he didn't want to retain the best people we had. And he was insistent that we, you know, he was very excited that we had Dave Phipp. He was very excited that we had Jeff Statland, Deuce, of course, and guys like that, Justin. And he wanted to attract a really good defensive coordinator. It didn't have to be a buddy of his. It didn't have to be somebody he worked with. He analyzed it. He worked with Howie. And they came up with Jim Schwartz as the top candidate. And Jim did a great job. He's helpful to everybody in terms of experience. He's very smart. And I think, you know, Doug will increasingly rely on him because he's just a great collaborator there. So that's number one. Can you create that staff as a new head coach? Not easy. Not easy. He's in the middle of the playoffs, you know. It's not easy to put that together under that time frame. He was able to do that. Let me finish here. Secondly, how do you keep the team? You inherit a team that was not in its best locker room atmosphere with the previous head coach. Okay, that's normal in a franchise probably, but he had the challenge of being first time head coach. A locker room that had gone through obstacles with the previous head coach at that point in time, and he got them together, and they really loved playing for Doug. He's genuine. He's open to the players' suggestions. He formed a leadership council. He has constant communication, and as we learned early in the season, I think also just in terms of game planning, in terms of game calling, he's not risk averse. We've never wanted to be a team that's risk averse. We'd much rather err on the side of being aggressive. He's that. And probably in the end, if we look back, most importantly, him, and it was designed this way, but him, Frank Reich, John DeFilippo, were incredibly helpful at identifying that, yes, this was the year there was a quarterback that was worth moving up in the draft for. And who was it? And it was Carson Wentz. And it was a very detailed, involved process. And I can't begin to tell you. Someday we can write a book about this if it all works out. But very detailed, multiple workouts. The testing was psychologically, medically, in every way you can imagine, in ways you've never even heard of. And 80 pages of reports, and this is what we were hoping to do. We were lucky enough, we hope, that was a year where that player was available, okay? I don't know what we would have done if we were, you know, picking 14 this year and we're in the same situation. And one other kudos I want to give here, because it's not just about scouting. The key to the Sam Bradford trade was how the contract was structured. We basically bought a draft choice here, when you think about it. It wasn't obviously the smartest move to give a second-year option to the contract, which required paying more money to accomplish that, okay, more of a guarantee. What we decided was, and how we led the way here, was if we had that option for a team, even if Sam played the whole year and was healthy and was as good as we thought he'd be, we would have real trade value. If it was a one-year-and-out contract, we would have his utilization. We'd have him play for us for a year. We'd have no asset value. So the key to that whole trade was the way how he structured that contract. And, no, we didn't know we were going to have Teddy go down and, you know, have that all happen. But we were hopeful that Sam would play well for us, be healthy, and be able to develop and have Carson ready for year two. That was our plan.
Well, you said, you've stressed the, the long-term view.
Yes.
Certainly you want to see things along the way.
Yeah.
What would you need to see in 2017 to consider a success?
You know, I think it's all about consistent improvement. We're not gonna draft to maximize short-term holes that are going to artificially boost a 2017 record. That's not the way to do it. That's the key to the patience here. That's the key to the discipline. The one thing I've learned, and I know Howie's in lockstep and Joe is in lockstep here, is it's hard enough to hit on draft picks. If you go through it, the odds are not good in any round. First round's the best round. The odds are not high. You're much better off and the much better odds at taking the best player. Now, if you have two equal players, you might lean towards the harder to get position, or you might lean towards the player, the position you need the most. That's possible. But anytime I've seen us and any team drop down to fill a need, you have less of a chance on hitting with a blue chip draft choice, especially early in the draft. So we are really hell-bent on making sure we don't just focus on short-term needs, because you need everything in this league. I hope we don't need a quarterback, but basically, what don't we need in 2020? And you're talking about the third year for a player, third or fourth year for a player. That's when you're really going to have the draft picks impact your team, and I can't think of a position we're not going to need in 2020. So let's take the best possible player available, and if it's at a position that's really hard to get, then that weighs into it too.
Jeff, I'm trying to clarify.
Yeah.
Howie's the negotiator, which gets you in position, and Joe makes the decisions on the draft picks?
No. You didn't hear that right. Okay. I was just giving congratulations to Howie, because the structure of contracts and the maneuverability of in the draft to be able to acquire Carson is on Howie. He did a great, great job. The draft is going to be really built by Joe, and the final decision will be made by Howie. But these guys are unbelievably collaborative, unbelievably collaborative. I mean, I haven't seen anything like this. And we have such trust, I think, in Joe that basically when that board's there, unless there's something extraordinary that happens, it's going to be set by Joe, and then Howie will just make the final decision in case of anything. But that's a great system, I think. And Doug will be very involved. The coaches are going to be very involved, as usual. But there's, obvious clarity on the decision-making.
Jeff, last year you hit us with a new term. We had to go look it up. ARFID.
Yeah, ARFID, yeah.
Got an update on that, and how that's kind of impacted your team in the
league? Yeah, I think, we're all incredibly excited about it, because it measures how fast a player plays. That's the key. And it's not about simply 40 times at the combine, but when you can actually measure the speed of a player, how does he get in and out of his cuts? How does he get in zero? It's not about in a track meet at the combine, 0 to 10, it's how fast is he really moving with a helmet on and everything. That's the future. We're not quite there yet. We know some information. We get as much as we can. But it's just right now it's part of the data. And I will also tell you that in the scouting process in the NFL today, you better be really good data collectors, because there's so much information and it gives you a real advantage. People, you like to use the term analytics, but we're really just talking about a lot of data that you do analyze in a pretty sophisticated way, and it's so helpful to the decision-making process, because you can correlate and do a lot of things that, regression analysis that are impressive.
Jeffrey, you mentioned the different maneuvers that Howie made to get you out of a tough spot.
Yes.
That was brought on by some moves, by the previous regime. But
right.
Those moves couldn't be done without your blessing.
Right.
So I wonder what lessons you have taken from that situation that mm-hmm. can be applied moving forward.
Well, I think if I learned one lesson in this league, and it's, I think, one we all probably know, no other sport is so determined by one position. You can look at, you know, the goalie in hockey maybe, or the pitching staff in baseball, but that's multiple people. I don't know, point guard, what do we want to say in the NBA? But nothing comes close to the quarterback position. And if you look at who's been in the Final Four or the Super Bowl in the AFC, it's about three or four teams because that's who their quarterbacks are. NFC, a couple more because they've had some young guys come through like Russell and Matty Ice and guys like that. But, you know, it's this is a you're almost relegated when you don't have that position and have it really well with somebody terrific.
Sure.
So
more of giving Chip that kind of power, where you had to, where he got you in a tough spot that you had to, that you're still working yourself out.
Well, the lesson applied there is it's not a structural question, because if Bill Belichick were in that position, he might have done a great job, right? If Bill Walsh were in that position, he might have done a great job. I've always said the best structure is to have a terrific quarterback. You can then rationalize any structure you want. You can turn to a winning team or a losing team. You can say that team, the GM makes all the decisions. That team, oh, the coach makes all the decisions. You know, number one, you have to start with getting that quarterback and then surround him and draft well. Whatever's going to create an atmosphere, a situation to draft well and use your cap smartly gives you the best chance of success.
Why are you so confident that Carson's solved?
I don't ever think a player is solved. I think it's 1 year. He's had a very good first year. That's it.
Why are you confident that this kid is probably your best shot?
Oh, why? Okay. I would say four or five factors. Starts with physical talent. That's, I think, pretty obvious. Can he improve? Of course. Number two, it's the personality and leadership ability that this guy brings. It's special. Number three is how does he have the intelligence, the football intelligence, and the obsession to be really good? Does he have all that? Looking at it critically, he really does. And fourth, he's got a way with his teammates that's impressive. He's a humble person, very talented young man, and humble and hardworking to the core. And, you know, I think we've seen guys come into the league that have that, and you hope he's one of those, because the best quarterbacks in this league lead from hard work and being humble, and they're very smart. And you obviously have to have the physical talent. He's got that. Can he stay healthy? Can he continue to grow? Can he perform as we go forward the way the curve should go? It's a hope. That's all it is. It's a hope. Four or five. I have to think of more, but there's I can add probably many more, but those are important, and that's what you know, really got us excited about him even before we drafted him.
Obviously, Howie made the moves to pull off the trade to get up to get him, but was that the way you talk about how important a quarterback is?
Yes.
Was that sort of a mission put forth by you to tell him if you think this is what we need, go get it? And then a second part of that, how involved in the process of picking this guy were you?
Yeah. I'll say it to you this way. Howie and I thought identically on this situation in terms of we've both been in the league a long time, and when we sat down, we said, you know, where are we without a quarterback? We can be good. We can figure out a way to get to 10-6. We can, be the team that was in the playoffs against the Saints a couple years ago, and we can be that. But we were both mutually obsessed. If the time came where there was a quarterback, we would be willing to do a lot. Because I don't know, again, Howie and I both completely agree on this, as do probably most of you. What do you do when most teams who are 2-14, 3-13 at the top of the draft, they need the quarterback? So you are blocked, basically. And that was the conundrum. That was the puzzle, you know? And we knew the top team was going to trade out of there. That was lucky that there was a team that was willing to. We tried to get that pick. We tried very hard to get that pick. And we recognized, and I want to give another very important aspect of this whole process, was knowing early on who the Rams were going to take. I can't underestimate that, because if you don't have that information and you're not 99.9% confident in that information, how do you aggressively move to get the second pick to get the player we wanted? If you were confused about that information and weren't sure, you were paralyzed, okay? So that took a lot of that value of information gathering is a big part of that job.
Before the season started,
Adam,
when you guys decided you were going to leapfrog Chase Daniel, hey, how involved were you with that? And when it was decided, I mean, what was that feeling like? Because quite frankly, Carson missed almost the entire preseason.
Yeah, it was. You may have heard the story, but I forget who we were playing. Carson was hurt, and he we were playing. Remind me who we were playing. It was away. It was Indianapolis, maybe. Yeah, and so we watched him work out before the game with John DeFilippo and I think Frank Reich, and it was every bit as talented a workout as he had at North Dakota State when we all went out there. And it wasn't just a workout. You're talking about a marathon workout. And Frank and Flip came over to me and Howie. They had already spoken to Doug, and this was before the Bradford thing even became a possibility, and said, I got to tell you, this kid is physically and mentally ready. And that was quite a statement coming from them, which, you know, gave us a little more flexibility in terms of trading Sam. But honestly, it was a tough but obvious decision to trade Sam. You know, it was going to hurt our season right away. It was new head coach, rookie quarterback, Adam, like you said, had never really played much even in the preseason. And we were willing to sacrifice short-term stumbling and losses to achieve a longer-term goal.
You've been around quarterbacks for 23 years.
Yes.
There's a mental part of it that rookies, you don't know until they get there. Did you know when you were around them, okay, there's something special here?
Yes. Yes.
In terms of what stood out to you?
Well, sitting through, and you know, I rely on the people that are the quarterback experts in our organization. So right away, John DeFilippo and Frank Reich and Doug Peterson, they know quarterbacks. I'm sitting in the room in North Dakota, and they are grilling Carson for a long time. And after the meeting, Carson leaves, and they all look at each other. And Doug, Frank, John, they start talking, and they each ask each other, have you ever seen anything like this? Have you ever seen anything like this mentally in terms of what they challenged him to do? And, you know, the answer was yes, but extremely rarely. I won't mention who, but it's somebody we all hope he becomes. And it was one of those sort of defining moments. Now, at that time, I don't think we had the number two pick at that time. So it was like dangling in front of you. And, you know, and I think, by the way, I think it was important that we had on our staff those three people in order to give us the confidence to do the aggressive moves, and that would be the player. Because, you know, you always want to be aggressive, but if you go up and it's, you know, Ryan Leaf or name the player, you know, the number, Jamarcus Russell, the guy the Redskins took a long time ago, Heath, you know, guy, it hurt. It set you way back, set you way back. So that was part of it. Yeah. You're welcome, guys. It's fun.